Ruth chapter 4. Ruth started with three funerals. It's going to end with a wedding. Amen. I'm going to read Psalm to you right quick to open us up. Psalm 30, verse 5. For his anger is but for a moment, his favor is for life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. Amen. That verse says to us that his anger, his hand upon us or whatever, we've talked about how he's in control of it all. But God writes the last chapter of our lives. And we don't have to be afraid of anything. We don't have to be afraid of our future because God is there and God is writing the last chapter. Let me see if I can get through this right quick. Leviticus and Deuteronomy 25, 5 through 10 are the background for this chapter, for this book, really. It's about the kinsman redeemer. I read Deuteronomy 25, 5 through 10 last week. But I just want to remind you of those things. Remember this one where he took his sandal off his foot and spit in the other guy's face and all that kind of good stuff. We get the sandal off the foot here, but we don't get this spitting. The tradition must have changed. Redemption. This verse, these verses are about redemption. Let me first go ahead and read these. Boaz went up to the gate and sat down there, and behold, the closest relative with whom Boaz had spoken came by. So Boaz said, come aside, my friend, sit down here. So he came aside and he sat down. And he took 10 men of the elders of the city. He said, sit down here. So they sat down. Then he said to the closest relative of Naomi, who has come back from the country of Moab, sold the piece of land which belonged to our brother Elimelech. And I thought to inform you, saying, buy it back in the presence of the inhabitants and the elders of my people. If you redeem it, redeem it. If you will not redeem it, then tell me that I may know, for there is no one but you to redeem it. I am next after you. And he said, I will redeem it. Then Boaz said, on that day that you buy the field from the hand of Naomi, you must also buy it from the hand of Ruth the Moabitess, the wife to the dead, to perpetuate the name of the dead through his inheritance. And the close relative said, I cannot redeem it for myself, lest I ruin my own inheritance. You redeem it. You redeem my right to redeem it, my right of redemption for yourself, for I cannot redeem it. Now this was the custom in the former time concerning Israel redeeming and exchanging. To confirm anything, one man took off his sandal, he gave it to the other, and this was the confirmation. Therefore, the close relative said to Boaz, buy it for yourself. So he took off his sandal. So I'll stop right there for now. So you see, when Elimelech went to Bethlehem to get rid of the, to get away from the famine, he had a piece of land and he took the land and he sold it. So the kinsman redeemer was one who would redeem the land, but not only the land, he would take Ruth the Moabitess to be his wife. And Ruth, as the Moabites, as we saw, were enemies of the nation of Israel. Moab is my washpot, God said about them. Ruth was a Moabite, and so that played into it. He called this man aside and he said, redeem this property. And he said, but know this, the day that you redeem it, you're going to have to take Ruth to be your wife. That way she can have a child by you, a son, hopefully. He can carry on his father's name and the right of redemption, the right of the land, it will go to him. So the guy said, well, I can't marry Ruth the Moabitess. My my own family's inheritance will be messed up. And so he said, you take it, you do it, you redeem it, you take my right of redemption. So that was the story of how it came by. Redemption, it's paying the price for someone to be set free. You see, we're going to look at, compare the redemption of Boaz to the redemption of Jesus. And it's paying the price of someone who could be set free. Let's look over to Ephesians 2, 1. 1 through 3. And he made you alive who were dead in your trespasses and sins. He made you alive. You were dead. He made you alive, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once conducted ourselves in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of our flesh. And just as others, by nature, we were children of wrath, just as the others. We were all children of wrath. We were all dead, and he made us alive. He made us alive. Only God is able to make us alive. John chapter 8, verse 33 through 34. This one may not be exactly. They answered him and said, we are Abraham's descendants, and we have never come into bondage to anyone. How can you say you will be made free? They're like, what are you saying? Made free. And Jesus answered and said to them, most assuredly, I say to you, whoever commits sin is a slave of sin. If you commit sin, you're a slave of sin. Anybody in here never commit sin? I'll just take that as a yes. We all have. We've all committed sin, and we are all slaves to that sin. And only Christ can, as a first right of refusal, as a first right of being able to pay the price and set us free. And in Mark 10:45, he says it very, very plainly. Jesus said that he came to give his life as a ransom for many. Yeah, he did. For even the Son of Man did not come to serve, did not come to him to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. Amen. Jesus came to give his life as a ransom. He came to give his life to take us from death to life, to set us free from the ways of the enemy. Revelation chapter 5, verses 9. And they sang a new song, saying, you are worthy to take the scroll and to open the seals. You were slain and have redeemed us to God by your blood out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation. And you have made us kings and priests to our God. We shall reign on the earth. He saw in heaven people from every tongue, every nation, every tribe redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, redeemed by Christ Jesus himself. Redemption is necessary for you and for me. And he was a near kin. Now this is, he was a near kin. Let me go ahead and read this passage of scripture to you. Hebrews, I hope these are right. Chapter 2, verses 14 and 15. And as much then as the children have partaken of flesh and blood, he himself, talking about Jesus, he himself likewise shared in the same, that through death he might destroy him who had the power of death, that is the devil, and release those who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondages. He said, just like children are flesh and blood, he said, Jesus became flesh and blood. He became it so he could be our kinsman redeemer, so he could give his life. And in doing so, he would break the power that death has on us. And we don't have to be afraid of death anymore because of the power of Christ Jesus. He had to be able to pay the price. I have a lot of verses. Let's see which ones. I may just read them all. 1 Peter 1, 18 and 19. Knowing that you are not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold from your aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Jesus, a lamb without blemish or spot. Amen. The blood of Jesus, who was a lamb without blemish or spot, that was the only thing that could pay the price. Ephesians 1, 7. In him, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. In him, we have the forgiveness of sins. In him, we have redemption through his blood, which is the forgiveness of sins. That thing that kept us held in bondage, that thing that made us dead, that thing was we were slaves to sin, and sin has made us dead. But Christ Jesus, by his life and by his death and by his burial and resurrection, he has made us alive. I'm going to give you two more verses. I'm not going to read them. Titus 2:14 and Hebrews 9:12. Jesus was able to pay the price. But was he willing? That's the question. Was he willing? You see, in our point of view, we see it from Acts 2:21. And it shall come to pass that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Amen. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. And we see it from that perspective. We see it from the perspective that Jesus says, whoever will call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. What perspective does God see us from? See it from John 10, 17 and 18. Therefore, my Father loves me because I lay down my life that I might take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have the power to lay it down, and I have the power to take it again. This command you have received from the Father. Christ Jesus was willing to lay it down. Not only was he willing, he did lay it down. He laid it down for you and for me. He laid it down for all of us who will come to know him and all of us who won't come to know him. He laid it down for all of us. Amen. He was willing to pay the price. He was the only one who could. He was our near kin. The redemption. He was God of grace. I was just, and I'm going to close with some things about the book in general. But Ruth, the Moabitess, she had the faith. Every people had their own God. And she had the faith. God gave her the faith, I should say. Amen. It was in his grace that he gave her the faith to believe and become one of his children. He gave her that faith. And then he gave her the faith in the field. But we know, as we talked about, the faith in the field, it wasn't by chance. It was ordered by God, because then he gave her the faith to go there. And that's where Boaz would fall in love with her. That's pretty cool. Boaz fell in love. He gave her the faith of the town gate. When Boaz said, you just wait, I'll take care of it. And she just waited. And then she gave her the faith of the baby. And let me read that. Moreover, Ruth the Moabite, verse 10. The widow of Mahlon I've acquired as my wife to perpetuate the name of the dead through his inheritance, that the name of the dead may not be cut off from among his brethren, from among his physician at the gate. You are witnesses this day. And all the people who are at the gate, all the elders, we are witnesses. The Lord make the woman who is coming to your house like Rachel and Leah, the two who built the house. You may prosper in Ephratah and be famous in Bethlehem. May your house be like the house of Perez and Tamar, the Lord whom Tamar bore to Judah, because of the offspring the Lord gave you, this young woman. So Boaz took Ruth, and she became his wife. And he went into her, and the Lord gave her conception, and she bore a son. Then the women said to Naomi, "Blessed be the Lord, who has left Naomi this day without a close relative, who has not left Naomi this day without a close relative. His name will be famous in all Israel, and he may be a treasure of life, a nourisher of your old age, and for your daughter-in-law who loves you, who is better to you than seven sons, has borne him." Then Naomi took the child, laid him on her bosom, and became a nurse to him. The neighbor women who gave him a name, saying, "There's a son born to Naomi." They called his name Obed. He's the father of Jesse, the father of David. Amen. This is genealogy of Perez. Perez begot Hezron. Hezron begot Ram. Ram begot Amminadab. Amminadab begot Nahshon. Nahshon begot Salmon. Salmon begot Boaz. Boaz begot Obed. Obed begot Jesse. And Jesse begot Ruth. A wedding. From funerals to a wedding. From an outsider to an insider. From a mother-in-law who said, "God has dealt very bitterly with me." She made it sort of a saying that God has taken pleasure in dealing bitterly with me, to God having favor on her. This joy comes in the morning. I have a David. That's King David. He's in the lineage of Jesus. It makes Jesus our near kin. He's to Naomi a restorer of life and a nourisher and near kin. He is also to us those things. A restorer of life and a nourisher, and he is our near kin. You know, just thinking back over the entire book, it says to me, God still cares. Amen. God still cares. No matter how bitter Naomi was, no matter how bitter you and I become, God still cares. And he cares about the details of your life. He cares about the very details, so far as to what path you walk down to what field. He cares. What field? Amen. He cares. Ruth went from an outsider to being part of the covenant family. Ruth did. Moab is my washpot. When she made that statement to Naomi about, "Your people shall be my people, your God, my God," it was then, probably beforehand, that she became part of the covenant God. I was thinking in chapter 2, I didn't go over enough, but Boaz had, when she was gleaning, she was reaping behind the reapers, they were dropping stuff. He had them drop some stuff on purpose. And then before she could even say anything, he sat her down to lunch. And before he could say anything again, he told her not to reap behind, but to reap what's up front. most of us, many of us, we don't want to reap. We just soon stay behind. We don't want to reap with the reapers. We don't want deep communion with God. We don't want communion with Christ. We just want just enough so we can get by. John 14, 21 through 24. He who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me. And he who loves me, I will be loved by my Father, and I will love and manifest myself to him. Judas, not Iscariot, said to him, Lord, how is it that you will manifest yourself to us and not to the world? Jesus said, if anyone loves me, he will keep my words. My Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. He who does not love me does not keep my words. And the word which you hear is not mine, but my Father's who sent me. Jesus. It leads on to the last one. Commitment is what made a difference in Ruth's life. Commitment is what made a difference in my life. Commitment. It's what can make a difference in your life. You remember that Ruth chapter 3 last week, she went to the threshing floor. She took off her clothes in the morning. She put on her other clothes, and she went to the threshing floor, and she uncovered his feet. I would just say to you, have you ever placed yourself at the feet of the Lord of the harvest? The Lord of the harvest is Jesus. Have you ever placed yourself at his feet? That is where you will find everything that you're looking for, at the feet of Jesus. Stand up with me if you would. I don't know where you are. I don't know what you need right now. You know what, I'm going to do something. I'm going to ask you to bow your heads and close your eyes. You have your heads bowed and your eyes closed, and they can sing a couple of verses. I really don't want you to even pay attention to the music. I want you to do business with God, and I want you to pay attention to the Lord this morning, right now.